live at AsylumFantasySports.com. Rick, I missed my mark, so I waited a little longer. It is the 199th episode of the Asylum Fantasy Sports Show.
Yes, it is. We are Fligger and Briggs, and welcome to 90 minutes of velvet to your ears, because you will have us just caressing your little eardrum.
Easy now, easy.
And I tell you what, this is 199. Next week, we got the 200th show, and we've got our very first guest ever coming back on.
Some fantasy luminary is going to join
indeed.
Us next week.
Yeah, that is the fantasy six man. He is way back.
Oh, our boy Jay Smooth.
We have our very good friend and influential partner, Road Warrior, Mr. Dave Cherney.
Yes, man of age, if I'm recalling correctly.
Of wisdom.
Age.
And aged. We also have our last half hour cohort from the Sunday Inside Slant, Mr. Scott Fish. At Debbie Scout now.
Oh, did
on
it
Twitter.
Change?
Yes.
I wasn't aware.
And then we also have our good buddy, as the argument continues, Mr. Dennis Farrell from the F-Word podcast.
I don't know how we're still friends with him, because you pretty much say the F-Word to him every time he comes on the air, because you two can't agree on anything.
It is just a meeting of two super intelligent minds.
Well, one, anyhow. We'll let you decide which one's
fair.
We'll let the listeners decide. So, yeah, big 200th episode. I can't believe we're almost there, Rick. I can't believe 199 episodes in, I still missed my mark on the opener. So God bless you for sticking around with us for as long as you have. So really looking forward to next week to putting that show together for you. So we will have – we're going to have those guests on. More us thanking them for being a part of the show, just reminiscing a little bit. We're going to tell some behind-the-scenes stories. If you have some questions, anything you ever wondered about, feel free to shoot us an email. Hit us up on Twitter, at Asylum Football. Yeah, we'll do a little fantasy football, too, especially with the guests, but just sort of going to enjoy it. Sit back and reflect on 200 episodes of, what'd you say, velvet to your ears, tickling your little, and then I quit listening after that, but going to do that. Just going to have some fun next week. We're not going to worry about the clock. We're not going to worry about anything. We're just going to go.
That's right. It's going to be fun. And, send in some questions if you have them. It would be fun to get some different perspective.
Yeah.
And, I tell you what, it is mid-June, going on late June. Football season's here, buddy.
Oh, yeah.
There is no question about it. And, in fact, what is it, 7 or 8 mini camps have started. And I find it very interesting, the people that haven't showed up right now. And, of course, Vernon Davis holding out for a new deal. Alex Boone also is not showing up for San Francisco. One I found very interesting was Mike Goodson didn't show up to the Jets minicamp. Boom, he's gone.
Just cut him. Just done.
You're done.
Well, and I think Goodson's got bigger issues. He's facing 10 years in prison on that weapons charge,
right.
So he's under an indictment there. Coming off the knee injury, coming off the 4-game suspension last year for violation of the drug policy, probably a fairly easy decision for Rex to make.
Yeah, exactly. And, of course, Justin Houston's not showing up right now for Kansas City, but I think maybe the biggest character and maybe the most intriguing is Kyle Orton, not showing up to Dallas. Right now, if he misses all the OTAs or all the minicamp, I think he's subject to $70,000 fine. He will not get a $75,000 workout bonus. You know, Tony Romo's still rehabbing that back. He's still a little iffy. You know, Kyle Orton is a lot more attractive option if something would happen to Tony Romo than Brandon Whedon is right now. And this guy, this is an important holdout.
Right, and the Cowboys are pretending like Whedon's just tearing it up down there, and I don't buy it. And certainly going into the season, if I'm a Cowboys fan, I would feel much more comfortable having Kyle Orton under center. What fascinates me about this story, Rick, is they're not really talking. They don't know. They didn't know if he was going to show up or not. There's no reason necessarily why he hasn't shown up. It's a really strange scenario. They've already had it in place. If he doesn't play this year, he's got to give back $3.5 million on his signing bonus. Plus, he's got $3.5 million coming to him in salary this year, giving up $7 million. And just not even willing to discuss it. They didn't know. In interviews I heard, Jerry Jones said he didn't know if he was going to show up. He hoped he would. It very, very strange, very interesting. And I don't, is he unhappy? I know there was a story last night from Ian Rappaport on the NFL Network I saw that Orton's plan may now be to retire. Well, if that was your plan, why haven't you retired before these fines start kicking in? It's a very, very strange scenario.
Well, and wouldn't you want to tell your team?
Right.
That's actually been pretty good to you.
If that's your intent, absolutely. Is he disgruntled with the team? There's never been a story about that. But why in the world are they not communicating? Why in the world? I just don't get it. I don't understand what's happening. There's more to this story that we don't know about. And it'll be interesting to keep it on. But, Rick, you're dead on. He's probably one of the top two or three backups in the NFL, if he isn't the best backup quarterback in the NFL. You know, Romo, some serious health concerns going into this year. That could be huge for the Cowboys.
Yeah, and I just think it's quite interesting and very strange. It just really is. I mean, Orton's one of those kind of guys that has never really, you know, been brought into the spotlight, never that big star, always the quiet worker behind the scenes, getting the job done, filled in pretty adequately, started fairly adequately, you know, when called upon and so forth. Just kind of a surprise to me.
Yeah, the whole thing is weird, and I just absolutely don't know what to make of it. So hopefully more comes out. You know, if he retires, that's fine. I get that, but why just the silence, just radio silence? I don't understand it whatsoever. Rick, the one that sticks out to me is Marshawn Lynch, who had threatened not to show up for minicamp, showed up, yeah, but refused to practice, and basically said if he doesn't get a new deal, he'd be willing to consider retiring. And I'm sure that's been said by a lot of guys before. Our boy Marshawn is just crazy enough to do it. If you're the Seahawks, where do you go from here? What's your next move?
If I'm the Seahawks, I guess I want to evaluate where he is at in his contract. You know, what's his mindset? What does he want?
Just more money? Does he want more years?
Yeah.
I don't know what Marshawn wants.
He's
All right, it must be both.
Well,
okay.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, he's 28 years old. It seems like he's been around for about 15 years.
Doesn't it, though? It's been a long,
yeah,
long 10 years in his career.
He's got some mileage on him, but he hasn't really showed any signs of slowing down. Maybe he's, I don't know. I don't know what he wants. You know, obviously he wants more money, or maybe he does want longer term on his contract. However, I'm guessing it is both.
He's agreeing with you.
But
and we know, Rick, what Marshawn's really all about.
Maybe you need to talk.
Yeah, it's not. Well, no.
I ain't never seen no talking win me nothing.
Yeah, it ain't going to win him nothing, Rick. Yeah. But the thing is, it's not necessarily about the money or the length of the contract. We know what it is about.
I'm just about that action, boss.
It's just that action,
boss. Well, yeah, I know that.
So we got to make sure that happens.
But if you don't show up for minicamp practice, how are you going to have the action? Well, man, I don't get that.
We'll find that out. But that makes me nervous, Rick, because he's goofy. Let's be honest. The guy's a little bit off the wall. If he says, if I don't get what I want, I'm going to retire, I'm inclined to believe him. I'm inclined to think about it. I'll tell you this much. This reeks of the kind of story where he'll show up there so he doesn't get fined. He'll show up to training camp. But if I'm drafting at the end of August and he still hasn't been re-signed, I think I move him down on my rankings a little bit. I'm nervous. He's the kind of guy who just might not show up one week, just decide, all right, I played a game or two, they didn't give me what I wanted, you know what, I quit. I'm just done. That makes me nervous. If he doesn't have that new deal worked out, or if he doesn't stand up in front of everyone and say, I'm happy now, I'm ready to roll, it's a guy I might start avoiding a little bit if we don't have something wrapped up come draft time.
Yeah, I mean, and when you're talking, you know, comparable running backs, you're certainly going to lean the other way because
right,
you know what's going on with this guy. And, you know, if you're Seattle, where does that leave you?
Robert Turbin, they got a handful of guys behind him.
Right. But,
and you'll find out then, is it Marshawn Lynch or is it the Seahawks offensive line? I buy into the beast mode thing. He creates his own hole. He gets the job done. That hurts that team. It's going to kill your fantasy team. Hopefully they get something worked out here, get something squared away early in the summer, and then that'll take those concerns away from me. But if this is still hanging over his head in August, Rick, he's a guy, he's going to move down in my rankings because he just may be goofy enough to retire.
Yeah, and I really don't want to.
Hell yeah.
I don't want to see that yet, Marshawn,
no,
okay?
No, that's,
really.
Let's calm it down a little bit. We'll be all right.
Right.
I'm just about that action, boss.
And so are we. Yeah, we need a lot of more fantasy right, action yeah. from you there,
yeah,
Marshawn.
We understand, Marshawn. So, Rick, another story I found. Well, before we get off of these, let's talk about Andre Johnson again, skipping minicamp. I believe his uncle's his agent, Rick. I think I have that right, and he's coming out saying he may skip training camp as well. Texans not backing down at all. O'Brien said, when he gets here, he's been around a long time. He's a smart guy. He's played my offense before. He'll figure it out. No big deal. There's nothing the Texans can do. You wonder how long does Andre Johnson drag this out, and what does that do to him if he's not in camp? Obviously, he probably moves down your rankings, but how far down? Are you starting to get the feeling he may not play this year?
You know, it's very possible, and I don't buy into the everything's okay, he's a smart guy, if he shows up, he's fine. You know, guys like Dan Marino and name them, they need practice.
Right, everybody does.
Everybody does.
Especially the new head coach, a whole new system coming.
Sure, you have to get into shape, you have to get into game shape. You know, not just regular physical conditioning. I mean, you have to get into game shape. You have to take some hits. You make the cuts and start building up the timing with the quarterback. And I don't care how good he is.
Right.
It's Ryan Fitzpatrick's there now. So
what do you think of them declaring him the starter in June?
Well, why not? I mean, who else is?
You don't
who
give
else?
Tom Savage a look. I know they cut Yates.
Come on. I mean, Tom Savage is not going to walk in and take a starting job right now.
I understand that, but it's not Tom Brady he's walking in behind. It's Ryan Fitzpatrick.
I agree there. But like you said, I mean, we talked about this before. Ryan Fitzpatrick can still move the ball, albeit he's inaccurate at times and he's kind of a wild card out there. Yeah, to me, Tom Savage really wasn't on my radar as any great prospect going into this year anyway.
No, I never understood why he started becoming discussed as a first-round wide receiver there for a hot minute, about 2 months before the draft. His name just came out of nowhere. I'm just saying, why not go in with at least the false sense of a quarterback competition? Maybe Ryan Fitzpatrick's been around long enough. He doesn't need the motivation of somebody nipping at his heels. He's just trying to stay in the league. It just struck me that O'Brien made that call already after about what equates to about 3 days' worth of practice.
Well, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick already knows that he has to learn a new offense and so forth. So why not go in there? I don't know. I don't think it's a detriment saying this is a starter. And, I mean, it is Tom Savage. It's not like it was Andrew Luck drafted onto this team. And, you know what I'm saying? And they said,
right.
Well, Ryan Fitzpatrick's a starter. Well,
yeah, it's Tom Savage.
Exactly.
And I understand that.
I understand that. And maybe Ryan Fitzpatrick isn't the long-term answer. But I think he is certainly the best quarterback right now.
Yeah,
on that team.
He gives them the best chance to win in a team, and we've talked about this. A team that I think has a chance to be competitive. I don't think they're a championship team, but I think they're on the outer fringes of a playoff team. I think last year was an aberration. You know, at worst, Fitzpatrick is in line with what Schaub was before he completely melted down last year. You know, what looks like a healthy Arian Foster. If you can get Andre Johnson in camp, and that defensive line is just terrifying if Clowney works out the way most of us think he's going to do, that's going to be a competitive team. And I think, you know, to your point, Ryan Fitzpatrick probably gives them the best chance to win right now.
Yeah, and if you have a healthy Arian Foster, I think that just turns the offense around immediately.
Oh, no question about it.
And... yeah, but now we're talking Andre Johnson isn't there. That turns it around immediately as well.
Well,
so,
that takes him right back the other direction.
So, getting back to our original story, I don't know what's going on with Andre Johnson. However, I'm very cautious right now ranking him in my wide receiver rankings.
Well, and that's just it. And here's the issue. If it was a money thing, if it was a contract thing, we've seen it enough. We understand that. you assume they're going to work it out. There's something you can follow there anyhow. He's just not happy with the direction of the team, with the direction of the offense, and with the quarterbacks in town. That's not going to change. And I don't know what he thinks this holdout is proving. They have the guys they have. They're not going to make a trade for Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers. This isn't going to happen. How long do you prove your point? When's your point proven?
Was it some kind of a move hoping he would get a trade?
I think it was.
Thinking he is just so desperate and hungry for a title, and I'm not going to get it here in Houston. Maybe they'll let me go somewhere else. I don't know.
But it's clear that's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. You're right. And he just came on. It can't be, to me, a personal stat situation. He came off one of his best years last year.
Right.
100-and-some catches. I don't have him right in front of me, but well over 1,000 yards, and he had like 5 or 6 touchdowns, which he's never been a big touchdown machine anyway.
Right.
So it has to be that he wants to win a title, and maybe he was hoping he would go somewhere. I don't have any idea, but you know what? He's in Houston. And like you said, it's not the strongest division in football. Houston can certainly compete to win that division.
Right, right.
I would think that I'd be a lot happier there than some other team. Because you don't know where you're going.
And I don't think they're going to move him. If they're going to move him, they'd have moved him at draft time.
Right.
That didn't happen. You don't see in-season trades. All right, hold out for minicamp. I don't care about minicamp. What's this, Rick? His 11th year in the league, I believe?
Right, yeah.
All right, you don't need minicamp. Maybe even sit out the first 2 or 3 weeks of training camp so you don't have to do the two-a-days. But he's going to have to come back at some point, and I'm just curious when that's going to be, if it's going to be, how long is he willing to take this stand, how willing, depending on whose side you're on, credit to the Texans, I guess, they called his bluff, because you're exactly right. He was trying to force a trade. It didn't happen. I don't think it's going to happen. They haven't shown any signs of being willing to even consider it. There was talk about the Mylett deal, sending him to New England for Mylett. They go out and draft Savage, so that's not going to happen.
Anybody ever think that somebody would trade Andre Johnson for Ryan Mylett?
I would.
Come on.
I still don't.
Just ludicrous. That was just that was just balderdash from the very beginning. Yeah. I don't care what anybody.
It's exciting
says.
To think about Andre Johnson.
From Tom Brady, sure.
A little bit though. I did like that, but looks for all the world like that's not going to happen. So all right, you made your point. Now how do you walk back into that huddle now? He's publicly said, I don't like the quarterback play. These quarterbacks don't give me a chance to win a championship. How do you ever walk back into that huddle?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a different twist on a new dynamic to me. I really don't know how you approach that. Obviously, he's always been well-respected. But, they're in transition right now, and he's still a big part of it, although he's starting to get up there. And I tell you what, I think what he does is going to dictate the success that they have this season.
Right, and no question about it. I think they're an easy 8-win team, possible 9-win team, and that puts you on the fringes of the playoffs with Andre Johnson, with a healthy Arian Foster. Because what we know about Ryan Fitzpatrick, he's going to move the ball. He's going to go out and throw for 300-plus yards a game. There's going to be the 6 or 7 games where he throws 3 or more interceptions. It's going to kill them and cost them some games. But he's going to move the ball enough with those other weapons that they can easily win 7, 8, 9 games, and that's where they're going to be.
With that defense, certainly.
Right, and I understand Andre Johnson's frustration. He can't have but a couple good years left in him, and that team's not going to compete for a title in his career. But the bottom line is you signed a deal. You're there. You're the property of the Houston Texans.
Well, and that's the thing. He has no leverage, number one, because Houston did sit down with him, gave him a nice deal, gave him a nice long-term deal. Of course, this is back a couple years ago when they were winning.
They looked like they were going to win championships.
And they were winning that crummy division, and they could beat Cincinnati in the playoffs. And then, but, things have changed a little bit, and now all of a sudden he's not happy. Well, you know what? You got your contract. You got your money. Quite frankly, shut up and play.
Yeah, it's time to do that. Rick, this is an interesting slash sad story. There's not a lot of details on it. Remember Marion Barber, him and
right.
him and Jones had one of the first great 1-2 tandems in fantasy football. Being held for a mental health evaluation, he was taken involuntarily. I think he still lives around Dallas somewhere. He wasn't arrested. He isn't going to be charged with anything. There's no details on what happened, but he's basically on lockdown for a mental health evaluation. You wonder how long, when I hear these stories now, you wonder how long you hear about a concussion syndrome type of situation.
Oh, you know that's coming, there's no question.
And whether or not that's legitimate and how much more of this we'll see. Just those are the very early details. I don't believe there's been any specifics come out, nothing that I've seen anyhow. So just something to keep an eye on. Shame to see. That kid had a nice little career going for a little while.
Yeah, and you know, it's a shame to see that. You know, and it's kind of strange. It's not like he was really one of these Larry Zonka type guys with a lot of mileage on him and a lot of hard hits and so forth. He was
15, 16 carries a game.
Yeah, I mean, and not that long of a career, really.
No, he ended up, didn't he end up in Chicago briefly? After
he tried to do the backflip or whatever and did a face plant, you know.
Maybe that did it. I don't know. I hate to make light of it, but yeah, maybe he knocked something loose there. Rick, let's see a couple more headlines, Rick. We're going to get into it today. We got some stories. Like we talked about, we're going to go 90 minutes today, an extravaganza, as we used to call it. We're going to sprinkle in some stuff we may have normally done on Point Blank, which has gone away now. We're going to factor some of that in, and we're also going to look at some of our sleepers. We revealed our rankings last week. If you didn't listen to that, shame on you, and go back and take a listen. But so this week we're going to try to identify, based on our ranking, some potential sleepers, some value we see possibly out there.
Right.
But before we get there, Rick, shame here as lifelong Steeler fans. Chuck Knoll dead at age 82.
Oh, tell me about it. I mean, that just was so disheartening when I saw that. And I sat down and I thought about it. And from the time I was 11 years old, until I was 34, living in North Carolina, married with two kids. He was a Steeler coach.
Right.
And, you know, when it ended, it was tough to take. But now that he's gone, and in my mind, the greatest coach in football, of course, it's a homer pick. You're going to get your Bill Walsh's, your Tom Landry's, your Vince Lombardi's, and so forth. But, you know, irregardless who you think's number one, he's in the top five.
Right.
And just what a man. It's just beloved in Pittsburgh. And beloved by all the Steelers that played for him, the management, people after him knew of him. He was just an incredible person.
And a guy you look at when you talk about building a legacy, you hear a lot about, and I think you hear it nationwide. We hear a lot of it here locally in Western Pennsylvania. But you hear it on ESPN, you hear it on the broadcast talking about the Steeler way. There isn't a lot of nonsense. Bill Cowher, after him, ran the program the same way. If somebody got too far afoul of the law, they just didn't play for the Steelers. There was a Steeler way, and a lot of that goes to the Rooney family, but it really ties back to Chuck Knoll. He built a legacy that has lasted, what's it been, Rick, going on 25, 30 years since he retired now?
Yeah, well, 93, so yeah, you're 21 years.
Yeah, 21 years since. Still being run the same way, two coaches later, how many GMs later, in the Steeler way, the Chuck Knoll way, still alive and well in Pittsburgh. And that speaks of a coach. There's probably been 100 better X's and O's coaches. I don't know that. An evaluator of talent, you know, if you ever wonder who the best evaluator of talent is, go back and look at the 1974 draft for the Pittsburgh Steelers, all right? That, just go ahead and take a look at that. Had an eye for talent, what he did in the 70s with those teams. But this guy, true leader, built a way for an organization to be run, and it continues to run in his absence. And it's continued to be looked at. I think the Steelers as a organization are looked at as the benchmark that other organizations want to get to.
Yeah, I agree. And it's just so many good things said about the man. You know, it's just hard to describe it. And you're talking about guys like Mean Joe Green, Jack Lambert. I mean, some real animals, you know, when it comes right down to it. But when it came to that particular person, all he had to do was give a look, and they knew what it meant.
Right.
I mean, it was basically about as simple as that.
Just a true leader. And he wasn't one of those, running up and down the sideline, flailing his arms and cursing and carrying on and going nuts. Just a leader, just a stoic leader. Men followed him. Opponents respected him. It's hard. He was so subdued, it's almost hard to describe because you didn't see it. It wasn't flashy, but he just got it done, and the results spoke for themselves.
Oh, there's no question about that. And one of the stories that I heard where he said in the locker room, I think it was the first round of the playoffs, and I forget what year it was, and I believe Miami was playing Oakland. And of course, everyone, the media was touting that this was the AFC championship game right here.
Right.
And he basically just said that to his team and, you know, with a few choice words said, I don't really think they know what they're talking about. and that was about it.
Yeah, you didn't hear a lot from him. No good quotes. But if you look at the drafts of the 1970s, and it wasn't Chuck Knoll alone. But reading about it, seeing some of the great draft specials the NFL Network put together this year, you know, this was a guy in that 74 draft who had identified John Stallworth, you know, a guy they ended up getting, correct me if I'm wrong, Rick, in the fourth round. He was so high on John Stallworth, he was considering taking him in the first round
right.
over Lynn Swann. So that's an eye for talent. Back in days when we talked about this before the draft, when there was one can of film on a player like a John
right.
Stallworth who played at one of them small southern colleges, he identified this guy as a star then, and here he is in the Hall of Fame, along with Lynn Swann, along with Ham, I believe, was in that 74 draft, right?
Yeah.
Donnie Shell later on, I believe, if he wasn't an undrafted signee.
It was Swann, Lambert.
Lambert, not Ham. Okay. Mike Webster was the third
Webster,
round pick.
And then
Stallworth in the fourth.
Right.
Just unbelievable.
And, oh, by the way, they signed Donnie Shell that year, too.
As an undrafted free agent.
And it just goes back, you know, Mean Joe Green before that from North Texas State. You know,
right.
Terry Bradshaw, I think it was, what, Northeast Louisiana.
Right.
You know, a lot of these schools nobody even paid any attention to. And look at the talent that he found down there.
Yeah, no question about it. So, safe home, Chuck Knoll. Yeah, he retired if he was 93. I was 16 years old, so I probably have more vivid memories of Bill Cowher, but I
right.
remember Chuck Knoll, and I'll remember him fondly. So, all right, that's about all I got in terms of headlines. We did the Redskins story on at Fantasy Sports Network show. I don't really feel like going through that one again.
No, but I did find an interesting story today, and it kind of goes back to our roots from Point Blank.
Oh, all right, our Point Blank roots.
June 17th, so that was yesterday.
That was yesterday.
As
recent.
Of this recording, a curious Ohio boy who sneaked into an abandoned house over the weekend discovered a mummified corpse.
Oh, here we go. All right, our wheelhouse, baby.
Hanging inside a closet.
Hanging.
Unnoticed for nearly 5 years, officials said.
Here we go again.
The body of Edward Brunton, 53, had a belt around his neck, and he likely died by suicide in his rundown home in the city of Dayton, Ohio, said Ken Betts, director of the coroner's office in Montgomery County. I've been around a long time, but this is the first time we've had a mummified body indoors for that many years, Betts said. I mean, there ain't many mummies hanging around outside.
He acts like around every corner behind the mailbox is a mummified body.
Yeah. Only outside, though.
Well, certainly.
And, you know, family members and neighbors said that.
So he's got family.
This is the funny part.
Oh, Rick's got the death rattle today. He's got a bit of a cold. You all right
Excuse
over there?
Me. Yeah, a little
I might find your mummified corpse over there when the show's over.
Family members and neighbors said that after years of being homeless, Brunton inherited some money from his mother in 2009 and bought the tiny house for $10,000 cash. He likely killed himself shortly after that, Betts said. Isn't that nice? Like, the family didn't even come over for a housewarming
party.
Yeah,
that's probably why he did it.
This is kind of like the perfect storm in the sense that neighbors were unaware. He just purchased the home. He was a street guy, Betts said. He would not confirm press reports that said the adventurous 12-year-old boy thought the body he found was a dummy and told his mother, who alerted authorities. So there you go. There's another mummified body, right, 5 years hanging there.
All right. First of all, how are these bodies, and I don't think we settled this with Ethel, how do the bodies get mummified? Yeah, he's just hanging out in the closet. I don't imagine he was wrapped up, you know, preserved in any way. Why are these bodies preserving? What's causing them that? That's where these writers are missing the boat on this story.
I'm starting to wonder. I think they're using mummified very loosely.
Yeah, that could
be. You know, kind of like because it was dried and sort of rotten, hanging there. I don't think so.
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably nothing left to rot now.
You wouldn't think. Is it just a skeleton hanging there? I think they'd say skeletal remains if that's what was hanging there.
I don't know. It's very strange.
Would the skeleton continue to hang, I have to wonder.
I find it hard to believe.
Right, just,
there still had to be some soft tissue there to hold everything together.
Out, but, yeah, I don't think it's the mummies like I like to picture them, like they had on Scooby-Doo, but...
No. But speaking of which, the voice of Shaggy passed away, our buddy Casey Kasem.
Yeah, right, going back to that Texans discussion we had, they don't have a backup quarterback because he just died.
Yeah, well, that's Case Keenum.
Oh, it's a different guy then.
Yeah, there you
go. But let's go back to this mummy. Again, here's my problem with this. This guy had family, right?
Yeah.
They knew he got some cash. He bought the house. In 5 years, no one thought it odd. You hadn't heard from him. You know, maybe he probably didn't have a cell phone if he was living on the streets. I'll give you that. Nobody dropped by. You know, I guess the house was run
apparently
down.
Nobody
so the neighbors
ever dropped by.
But I don't understand. I would like to think, look, Rick, this isn't going to come as a shock to you or anyone in the audience. I have alienated pretty much anyone who's ever made an effort to be around me. It's what I do. And I figure the time's going to come shortly, hopefully after the 200th episode, where we're going to get to the point in the middle of a show, you're just going to point at your front door and I'm going to leave, and that's going to be the end of all of this. But having done that, I would still think if one day I just quit showing up for work and my corpse was laying around rotten somewhere.
Let's just be honest.
Someone would get curious at some point.
Let's be honest. We like doing this show.
True.
Right? Now, truthfully, you know and I know, no one will put up with you doing this show but me.
True.
And vice versa.
Right, right.
So,
yeah.
You know, I'm not going to kick you out. You're not going to kick me out. We're like
we're
the only people that can tolerate one another.
What we are is like a married couple that weighs about a combined 1,100 pounds. We don't really love each other. We're just the only two that are going to have each other. You know what I mean? Yeah, this is what we call settling. This is like in most marriages. We've settled. You know, we found the one person who will tolerate our crap, and that's what we're doing. And I get that. So we're the 1,100-pound couple. That's what we are. But, again, you'd think at some point, even if he's a recluse, if he's a little weird, but he's got family who is aware of him, he's got family who left him some money, in 5 years you don't go checking on him. And again, like Ethel, no one went in the garage. You go in there, there's still a pot on the stove, the TV's still on, you don't fling the closet open. I just don't get how bodies are just hanging out for 5 years and it never raises a red flag to anyone. I'm blown away by this.
I guess they maybe just ostracized them. I don't know.
I guess, but you know, don't talk to the media now. Yeah, act like you're
stunned. Yeah, everything was great.
Yeah, all hunky-dory.
Of course, these people didn't seem as broken up as Ethel's. You know.
Oh, her sister
was. She was there for 6 years, but you know, we wondered what happened to her.
Yeah, we never bothered to check, but we wondered.
Yeah. Yeah,
we never did get that. What was that sister's name? We never did get her on the show. I need to keep working on that. She needs to answer for that here on the asylum.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I mean, because that started the whole thing.
Yeah, and probably one of the greatest days. If you haven't listened yet, go back to Friday's episode. Go to asylumfantasysports.com. Check out that best of reel. I had so much fun putting it together. I probably listened to it two or three times. You know, it was a lot of struggle to find four or five segments you could loosely classify as best of, but it was good. You'll enjoy it if you're any kind of asylumite whatsoever.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Okay, let's move on to fantasy football since this is the Asylum Fantasy Sports Show. We're Fleeger and Briggs, and we have 90 minutes of velvet to your ears.
Velvet.
We've done the shtick. Now
ears.
We got to do some fantasy football.
All right, let's throw it together. Rick, I'll start this show. We're going to look at some sleepers here. I'm going to start with the quarterback position. I don't know how much I can get away with calling this guy a sleeper. I call him a sleeper because right now I have him ranked as a number two quarterback, albeit a high number two. I have him at number 14 right now. Actually, Rick, I have him at 10. You have him at 16, which may make him a sleeper, for a total of 14 on the asylum rankings. Rick, Jay Cutler is a guy I think. I have him all the way down at 10. This, you have him at 16, so you have less of an opinion of him. With the weapons around this guy, as we talked about last week, I got Matt Forte as my number one running back. I have Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey both ranked as high, mid-round number one receivers, if I'm not mistaken, without going back and looking. With these weapons, if Cutler's head is right and he can stay healthy, this guy, in my opinion, Rick, has the potential. And I'm not going to guarantee it, but that's what you're talking about with sleepers. Has the potential to slip into the top six or seven of fantasy quarterbacks before this year's over.
Yeah, I have no doubt of that. And it's not that my 16th rank of him is not that I have or actually think less of him. Because, look, I have Forte ranked up high. He's a top five running back. I've got, you know how I think about Brandon Marshall, Alshon Jeffrey the same way. What I don't trust is Cutler being able to be there for 14, 15, 16 games.
He's never shown a propensity to do it.
I know, and that's what scares me. I have a hard time ranking him as a QB1 when there's guys like Tom Brady. Okay, there's a great example who's taken a step back. You know, we talked about this before. But other than that one year with the knee, you know, he's always...
Oh, he misses no time.
Yeah, exactly. Ben Roethlisberger, another one. He's banged up at times, but he's still awful tough, and he plays a lot of games. You know, so I really like Jay Cutler's chances this year. But if I look at who I have ahead of him, okay, I'm going to give you some of the guys that I have ranked ahead of him, and you tell me if... they should be ahead of him. Tom Brady.
I think Tom Brady, before it's all said and done, yes.
Roethlisberger.
I think Cutler has more upside. I think Roethlisberger could finish above him. I think there's more upside with a guy like Cutler.
Or G3.
RG3's an enigma.
Exactly.
I have RG3 behind him. I trust Jay Cutler more. But RG3 can be the number one fantasy quarterback if he plays like he did his rookie season.
Foles, Brady, Rivers, Ryan.
I think I have all those guys above him.
Right.
Let me get my rankings.
You
back
do. I'm
up
looking
here
at
them. All right. So you can tell me when I get off board here.
Now you do have Cam Newton and Griffin behind him.
Yeah, and I'll stand behind Cam
and
Newton.
And
I don't
buy
into Cam Newton.
I'm not going to sit here and argue about that one by any stretch of imagination. Now here's the guys that I have below him. Or, excuse me, above him slightly, that you have below him slightly. Russell Wilson, I have him at 14, Cutler at 16. Russell Wilson's coming off Super Bowl season, plays 16 games, has some pretty good legs under him.
It's the lack of weapons around him that concerns me the most about.
However, yet you are on the Percy Harvin bandwagon.
You're right.
Way more than I am.
You know, to ridiculous levels.
Right.
And that can help Russell Wilson, but that's also a lot in the rushing game as well. But name the other weapon, Doug Baldwin. Are you afraid of Doug Baldwin? You know, now we got these Marshawn Lynch concerns. Yeah,
these were before the Marshawn Lynch concerns,
right.
But still, yeah, and we'll adjust accordingly. Now, okay, Andy Dalton, I have him one tick above Cutler. You have him a couple ticks below.
I don't buy into Andy Dalton whatsoever.
Well, I mean, I do for the simple fact I think that he has a chance of playing more games. He's on a pretty good team. He's got A.J. Green. There's Brandon Marshall. It's kind of a wash there. Of course, Jeffrey sure is a better wide receiver, too, than what Dalton has. But, you know, you have Bernard and Forte, pretty similar backs that way.
Similar playing style, yeah.
Exactly. So, I don't know. I just think Dalton... I'm not really on his bandwagon. I just think he has a better chance of maybe playing more games than Cutler. And that's really my only cautious thing about Jay Cutler right now.
And that's just it. If he plays 16 games, Rick, I think you're going to see him if you check our rankings in week 13 and 14, I think this guy is going to be comfortably inside of the top 10 with the offense that Trestman's put together and the weapons they've put around Jay Cutler.
Yeah.
And that rapport he has with Brandon Marshall, you can't discount that.
No. And depending on how Cutler looks, especially in the preseason, I'm sure he's going to be ticking up in my rankings as well. I'm just looking right now.
And the health concern, I'll grant you.
You know, and I haven't seen anything of RG3 yet. I've ranked him right now as the very last QB1, strictly on potential. Haven't really seen how he's running.
Right.
If he's still tentative like he was last year. If he is, boom, boom, down he goes.
Yeah,
you know,
he's down in the 17 to 21
right.
category if he has that look in his eye. And you know that look, and you saw it from him last year.
But from his standpoint, if he's healthy, if he's not tentative, you got DeSean Jackson, you got Pierre Garçon, you know, you've got of course, you got a good running game, good tight end, albeit with some concussion concerns.
Right.
We'll have to monitor that. But he's got a lot of weapons, too.
That Washington team could be a good team this
year. Exactly. Yeah, what they'll be called, we don't know.
Well,
but
yeah, that's a whole other issue. I don't feel like talking about that again.
Okay. That was my argument on Jay Cutler.
All right. Now, why don't you give me a sleeper?
I'll give you a sleeper right now, mister. Let me pull up my rankings here as I was checking the chat room. I'm going to go to a different position, if you don't mind.
Oh, I don't mind at all.
All right.
It's your world, baby.
Yes, it is. I'll tell you one that could be a sleeper in my mind is Le'Veon Bell. And I don't know how much of a sleeper he is. He's right now, we have him as an RB1, very low, both
right.
of us. Down, you know, we're very close. I tell you what, if my suspicions of Pittsburgh right now comes to fruition with how many points they're going to score, I think Le'Veon Bell could be a top 6 or 7 running back.
Yeah, he has potential to be top 5. The question is going to be the LeGarrette Blount effect in that Steelers offense. In a PPR format, Le'Veon Bell's going to get his grabs. I don't think he's a 20 to 25 carry a game guy, so he's going to have to bust off some long runs. What's going to make the difference from him between being I've got him 11, you got him at 12, so it's hard to call him a sleeper there, but the difference between being a low-end number one and being a guy who can finish in the top 5, which he has the potential, is he ever going to see the end zone? And that's sort of why I hold him down just a little bit, plus the just continued problems with the offensive line in Pittsburgh, the inability over the last 4 or 5 years to play even 2 games with the same offensive line configuration. Those are the 2 things they're going to have to break right. If they do, if he can find the end zone, if they can keep that offensive line together, there's no reason in the world Le'Veon Bell isn't a top 5 fantasy back.
What they pieced together last year on the offensive line due to the injuries and the success that they did have in the second half of the season with what they put together, now you have the added fact that the starters are back and healthy, and now they have basically the replacements in place.
True.
I don't really think that there's a big issue with the offensive line. Number one, I can't see that many injuries year after year on these guys.
You think it would have to quit eventually.
Right. But, no, I really think that they've got a pretty good, solid, deep line on the offense.
Yeah, and all of these guys have gotten legitimate reps in NFL games, and they played well considering. They had that swoon when they start 0-5, 0-6, whatever.
0-4, I think.
0-4, and then
1-5,
or 1-2-6 or something. But, you know, after that, they seem to get it together a little bit. So, and the big issue, the biggest issue, though, Rick, is going to be the touchdowns. You know they like that goal line back, what they did with Jerome Bettis at the end of his career. Obviously not Mike Tomlin, but something to keep an eye on. If Le'Veon Bell ends the year with 5, 6, 7 touchdowns, which I think is a possibility, that's what drops him below a lot of the guys I have ranked ahead of him right now.
Right. Well, you know, that is one thing. I have a feeling Le'Veon Bell is going to be ticking up my rankings before August.
He may.
You know, before things shake out when the season starts. But, you know, time will tell. It's going to be interesting to see how they work LeGarrette Blount into this.
Right, and he'll be the wild card in all this. So, Rick, I'll stick in the running back category. This is a guy, you know, certainly wasn't a sleeper last year, was a top five pick, top seven consensus across the board last year. Saw him go as high as three in some cases. Got traded to Indianapolis, just completely fell apart, became the joke of the fantasy football world. You remember on the Inside Slant, Rick, we get calls about him every Sunday morning and just chortle at whoever was foolish enough to ask if they should start Trent Richardson.
Right.
This is a guy, this Colts offense is going to be scary this year, Rick. I got Andrew Luck ranked as my number three quarterback now. That's how high I am on him. Reggie Wayne is back, presumably healthy. You bring in Hakeem Nicks after T.Y. Hilton did last year. Donald Brown is gone. This is a dangerous offense, and I think with a partial season and a full offseason under his belt, I think Trent Richardson could. You know, we'll find out who Trent Richardson really is. Is he the Trent Richardson of his rookie year, or is he closer to what we saw last year? This is a guy, I have him ranked 17, so I have him as a 2, but I ranked him on this sleeper potential. I think you ranked him where he actually is, being that you have him at 25 as the first number 3 fantasy running back. I don't see any reason, if things break well, if this offense goes as well as it is and he's healthy, Trent Richardson couldn't be a low-end number 1 fantasy running back by the end of the year.
I agree with a lot of what you said. In fact, I just saw that Pagano was saying that, you know, it's a real struggle to keep Reggie Wayne off the practice field right now. That's
right.
How dedicated this guy is to get back out there. So I'm going to assume he's in great shape. Add him back to, you know, Nixon and Hilton, like you said, with Andrew Luck. My biggest concern, let's say Brown's gone, so... And basically, he was outperforming Richardson last year, especially towards the end, by the end of the year. You know, you have Bradshaw in there. I don't know how much he has left with his feet. He's still a fairly young man. So they have two pretty young running backs on the team. I'm tending to agree with you in ticking him up, at least getting him back into RB2 territory right now, especially. And then as the season progresses, I want to see how some of these reps are working and how he's looking in camp as opposed to Bradshaw and so on and so forth. But, yeah, I think Indianapolis is going to be a very potent offense. They're in a crummy division, let's face it.
Right.
No disrespect to the other teams, but it's not the strongest division of football. They're going to score some points, and they're going to move the football. And I think Trent Richardson is very capable of doing that. We saw it in Cleveland. So, yeah, I'm certainly going to be moving him up shortly into RB2 territory. How high he gets, I don't know, but I'm certainly going to be paying attention to this situation in Indianapolis.
Right, and I think when you talk about a sleeper, for me, this is a guy you can get, probably fifth round right now. If you're drafted right now, late fourth, fifth, maybe even into the sixth round, you got number one running back potential there. That's the definition of a sleeper. And it's a guy, if he doesn't start shooting up everybody's rankings as we get closer to August, you know, we're, 10 weeks away probably from drafting, 10, 8, 9,
eight, maybe,
10,
yeah.
10 weeks away from draft beginning. Once training camp comes, you can see him creeping up. But if he stays, 25 is about the number you see on him, you know, his ADP in terms of running backs. That's right about – you have him where he should be. I ranked him at 17 based on that sleeper potential. If I can get him at that 17 to 25 price tag in my draft, I'm going to have a Trent Richardson on a lot of my fantasy teams. And if we get knocked off the air, it looks like there's a storm brewing here in Western PA. The lights just blinked. From everything I can tell, we're still on the air. But if we lose you, we'll get you back as soon as we can.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Okay, I'm going to move to position. I'm going back to quarterback for my sleeper. And this one here, kind of, people probably have him on their roster and so forth. But I tell you what, Carson Palmer, with Larry Fitzgerald healthy, the emergence of Floyd, Andre Ellington tends to pan out, and that defense stays tight. I think Carson Palmer could vault right into our QB1 numbers this year. I got him right now at 18. You have him at 21. He's our 19th ranked quarterback. Behind guys like Ryan Tannehill, Andy Dalton, Colin Kaepernick, Russell Wilson, he can certainly pass these guys up easily in my mind. He threw for over 4,000 yards in Oakland,
right?
Which is basically was a much worse team than Arizona is.
There's weapons there in Arizona. if he can stay upright, he's not a mobile guy, if he can maintain verticality, if you will.
Yeah, why not?
That's pretty good. I like that. If he can do that, if he can stay healthy, and if he can avoid the interception, they're going to have to throw the ball to win in that division. You know, everybody's excited about Ellington. Look at the three defenses he's going to play six games against. I'm not real big on Ellington. They're going to have to throw the ball to be successful. Carson Palmer's done it, and he's done it in worse situations, and he's a guy, I don't know if I'm ready to say I can put him over enough guys that he could finish in the top 12. There's a guy I'd love to have as my bye week guy, or if somebody went down. He has high-end two potential, and you know, if everything breaks right, if Larry Fitzgerald gets back to what he did with Kurt Warner, you know, Larry Fitzgerald could vault you up five or six slots on his own right there.
Yeah, no question about that. And they're just in one of those divisions right now where they're going to have to score points. It's not all defense with San Francisco, Seattle, and Arizona, not to mention the Rams, let's face it. And it's an interesting division.
Right. So, it's a tough one, and it'll be interesting to see what happens. And Carson Palmer could be the difference. So we'll see what those weapons around him. You could make a lot of similar arguments for him that I made for Jay Cutler. He's got similar talent around him. You know, I think a downgrade at running back, but you look at Floyd and Roberts, and you look at, you know, a guy like Larry Fitzgerald. You have the weapons there to be successful.
Exactly.
Let's jump to the wide receiver position, Rick. This is a guy who, yeah, just had a really down year after some great years there in Pittsburgh. Mike Wallace, we have him ranked 26 collectively, you at 25, me at 29, so both have him as number three wide receivers. As Ryan Tannehill gets better and you take away some of the nonsense that happened in Miami last season, Mike Wallace is going to be one of those guys who, there's two or three of these guys every draft, Rick, where you're drafting and you get to the middle rounds and you're looking for your sleepers, and that's the big name that's sitting there, and you're waiting and wondering who's going to pull the trigger on him. Mike Wallace, Rick, this year is the guy I may pull the trigger on. I call him Dwayne Bowe for the last two or three years. Dwayne Bowe would sit there for extended periods of time in a lot of cases. Mike Wallace is a guy, we know what he can do athletically when he gets down the field. If they can run, if Tannehill can begin getting the ball downfield with bringing in Moreno with the other two running backs they have there with a decent running game, a lot of people talking about the Dolphins as the sleeper team in that division, the team that could give New England a bit of a run this year, although New England looks stacked once again. I think Mike Wallace could be set up for a lot of success, and this is a guy I'm going to be targeting late that I can get a good value on and I think could work into. I don't think he becomes a wide receiver one like he did in that first year with Pittsburgh, but I think he could work his way comfortably into a low-end two or certainly an every-week flex start.
Yeah, I mean, he is Mike Wallace, and I tell you what, if he can get rid of some of the drops right then and there, that improves his value. Of course, that remains to be seen.
Yeah,
that's
real
know.
Easy to say.
Exactly. But, no, I agree with you. I like the maturation process of Ryan Tannehill. And I think Brian Hartline is a good complement to Wallace.
Right.
I mean, he's a good possession guy. And, you know, Wallace could do what Wallace does. My biggest drawback on Mike Wallace is he's a one-trick pony.
True.
He's down the field. And if he gets open, hopefully he can hit him, and hopefully he'll catch it because he'll score a touchdown. But, no, I mean, I like him. I think the potential's there for him to be a real playmaker like he was with Pittsburgh that one year. So, yeah, I mean, I can see where he's a sleeper. And I think Miami could surprise.
I do. You look at it. I certainly don't expect the success No'Shawn Moreno had last year down in Miami. At the same time, you had the Peyton Manning effect, but I think he found a little something after being such a big disappointment. He came out of college with a lot of hype, Rick, if you recall. And I think he found a little something. He has some confidence there. You put him around another year for Tannehill. Hartline, you bring up. They got some weapons around him. Clay at tight end, he's a playmaker.
Right.
And getting the ball in the end zone. Miami's a team that could win some football games this year.
This could be a real year to find out with a guy like Knowshon Moreno, Eric Decker, and so forth.
Now, who are they really?
Just how big is the Peyton Manning effect?
Yeah, and that'll be something to monitor.
Because I tell you what, it's wherever he goes, there's superstars on offense. And I don't think it's a coincidence.
Yeah, have you ever heard of Brandon Stokely before or after
Peyton Manning? Well, yeah, exactly. So, and I'll tell you what, I'm going to stay right with the wide receivers as far as sleepers goes. Right now we both have him as a wide receiver 3. But we brought up the offense earlier with Trent Richardson, Andrew Luck, et cetera, et cetera. I think Hakeem Nicks could turn into a real nice target for Luck. I mean, you got Reggie Wayne, you got T.Y. Hilton. Obviously, they have more chemistry with Luck. Yeah, Wayne not as much because he got hurt early on last year, but Hilton. But Hakeem Nicks is bigger. He's got the nice hand, the big hands. You know, Hilton and Wayne are both fairly small. I just think Hakeem Nicks really has the potential to be the big target for Andrew Luck.
Yeah, I agree 100%. This is a guy, fantastic year several years ago, certainly relevant in fantasy football over the last couple years. If you look at his numbers last year, Rick, if he could have managed to dummy his way into the end zone even one time,
yeah,
I think that's one of those self-fulfilling prophecies, one of those anomalies that just as the season wore on, it just sort of went on. If you get this guy in the end zone even 5 or 6 times, he becomes a real viable fantasy player. And this is another guy like Mike Wallace, like we talked about, you're going to get cheap, and he could develop into somebody you're going to start week in and week out. Here's another guy I'm going to be targeting. There is value in the middle of the draft this year, and I think Hakeem Nicks is one of those guys.
Yeah, that's where you win your titles. And guys like that are going to be a lot cheaper than some of the other ones. And I just think on a potent offense like that, going back to the old strategy I used years ago, you know, a mediocre guy on a very potent offense is a lot better value than maybe the second guy on the team that doesn't score much anyway.
Right, and he's got the protection of guys
and
like...
And I apologize for this cold here, ladies
like
and gentlemen.
Death rattle over there. I'm getting a little bit worried about you. But he's got the protection of a Reggie Wayne, of a Dwayne Allen even at tight end, of all the weapons they have there in Indianapolis. Why am I blanking on the other wide receiver's name in Indianapolis? Help me out here. T.Y. Hilton, okay. That's it. I kept wanting to say Tyler Thigpen for some reason.
Yeah,
that was a different
story.
He
was a good one. Yeah,
that was a different story. He's got better guys around him. You know, he had Victor Cruz in New York, but then who? Reuben Randall, Manning.
Just
a myriad of guys who went through there, not at the level of T.Y. Hilton. You know, you've got weapons there. You've got Andrew Luck, who I think is going to turn the corner into superstardom this year. And I think Hakeem Nicks is the kind of guy that benefits from that.
I think you're right.
So I'm going to stick with the wide receiver position. This is a guy that's going to get drafted late in every draft, and it's going to come down to what the rookie quarterback can do. But in bursts for a couple of years now, and last year specifically, Cecil Shorts, Rick, is a guy who can easily be an every-week fantasy starter as a number 2 or a high-end 3. I pulled his stats up. I don't have where we have him ranked, but it's low. This is a guy you could get in the 7th, 8th, maybe even 9th round. This guy, you know, he dealt with some injuries last year, 125 targets, 66 grabs, 777 yards, in the end zone 3 times. Look, Justin Blackman, they tore his locker down. They haven't cut him yet, but they tore his locker down. He isn't coming back. This is the kind of guy a Blake Bortles could lean on, and I think he's set up to have some real success, especially as a number 3 fantasy receiver, which is what you're going to draft him as.
Yeah, I like Cecil Shorts. My biggest concern with him is the concussion concerns from last year. And right now we have him at 33 on our list, so he's a wide receiver 3. But, you know, a lot of this can change. I have him actually ahead of guys like Torrey Smith. You have him behind Torrey Smith. I'm not buying into Baltimore at all, really.
You're not wacko for Flacco, right?
I am not wacko for Flacco. But, no, I like Cecil Shorts. I like what he can do, but I want to see a little bit of Bortles. I want to see a little bit of the run game and some of the game plans that they might have. I think Jacksonville could surprise. I mean, they were competitive last year.
They lost all the time, but they were often competitive.
Exactly. And with the draft that they had this year, if 30% of these guys pan out, they're an improved team.
Improved team.
Right. So, I mean, yeah, I like Cecil Shorts, and I think he's going to be ticking up board here later on as the season gets nearer.
Yeah, no question about it.
So, it's my turn for a sleeper. You know, I was going to go tight end, but, you know, it's hard to get a real tight end sleeper. But, I did have another one in mind for running back, and it goes back to the team that I had hit on before with the Cardinals, Andre Ellington. And I really, really like him. I've got him ranked higher than you do. I have him as an RB2 right now. You have him just outside of that, so... He comes in as a 24th running back, actually, the last RB2. But I like Andre Ellington. I like what he can do. The Cardinals' defense is good, where I think he's going to get plenty of work. They can run the ball. He can also catch. And if what I'm talking about with Carson Palmer and so forth rings true, I think this Arizona Cardinal offense is not going to be the forgotten Larry Fitzgerald, the defense, and everybody else is forgotten on that team. I just don't think that there. I think he could be very significant in a fantasy team.
I agree with everything you said. Here's my concern with Andre Ellington, and it's not a concern with Andre Ellington with Carson Palmer, with the Cardinals, or with the Cardinals' offensive line. The Seattle Seahawks. You saw what St. Louis did in the draft on top of that defense they've already put together. And the San Francisco 49ers, you're giving away six games there where if he can average 3.5 yards a carry, you're going to call that success. I just worry. Look, Marshawn Lynch has put it together against all those defenses we mentioned. You know, in the Cardinals in their own right, when you're comparing the other running backs in the division, the Cardinals in their own right are an upper-tier defense. These defenses are so tough. I just wonder. He's unproven. He got hot a little bit last year. I think he started getting overplayed. We got a lot of Andre Ellington questions. A guy I haven't bought completely in on yet at this point. And I'm just not ready to pay the price tag I'm going to have to pay for him with him going up against those three teams he's going to have to play six games against this year.
Well, that's where I'm kind of banking on. If you can get him, basically, even if he's your first RB3, if you can get him at RB3 price, I think he can pay huge dividends.
Certainly.
And let's not forget, Seattle, they had a great defense. They went on and won the Super Bowl and shut down Denver. We all know that. They also gave up some 100-yard rushing games last
year.
Jones-Drew in Jacksonville was one of them.
Right.
They gave up 2 touchdowns to him, something on that line. I think Zach Stacy had 100 yards against him. I don't have the stats with me, but I know they gave up some rushing yards. You know, it's their division games. And, you know, you get the maybe the 30-7 blowout one time and then turn around and the next team will win.
Right.
It's a hate-hate.
Division
hate.
Games are always different.
Exactly. So that doesn't bother me as much. I think the durability maybe, because he's unproven, so I really don't know if I can trust him.
Right.
That's what my biggest question is.
And the other question with him, too, is going to be the value, Rick. We've got him ranked. You've got him at the bottom of the twos. I got him at the top of the threes. The big sites, the four-letter network, Yahoo, the bigger sites have this guy as an upper-middle level, too. Some of the big-name guys are really buying into him. And a lot of times, depending on who you're drafting with, if people are drafting right out of those magazines, that you might be paying too high of a price tag.
That's
for him.
Why,
if he's sitting around as my RB3, I'll be happy to take him.
That's why you listen to the Asylum.
That's true.
The voice of reason, who doesn't buy. We don't buy into the hype.
I buy the magazine. As I say, don't say that.
Well, because they're
pretty.
They're pretty
and they're shiny. Yeah.
They have pictures.
Oh, lots of pictures.
Yeah.
And they have all the ads for the sites with the hot chicks in it. Some bought a chicken shoulder pad really does it for me. I don't know why.
Yeah.
But other than that, I don't use them for anything, but I'll buy 7 of them before the season gets here.
But, no, we don't buy into the
What's
the
that
hype?
One you wrote for? Because we'll have to be pimping that one here pretty soon. Didn't you write something for a fantasy magazine this year?
No.
Did I completely make that up? You wrote something from Dave.
Well, yeah.
Wasn't that a magazine?
I don't believe it was a magazine.
You don't even know what you wrote for.
I think it was for the fake pigskin site.
Well, I thought they were putting out a draft guide or a magazine or something.
Oh, that's what
it
was. Yeah, it was a draft guide. But
oh,
I really
it online?
Magazine,
oh,
I
thought it was
going to
be in a shiny magazine.
No, but that would be cool.
Dave, get that thing in a magazine. At least one and send it to us. Make one magazine.
Yeah, then we can say, why don't you just hit that microphone a little harder.
If you guys had any idea, I don't know if they can hear the thunder through the microphones or if the limiters are stopping.
It's a little rough out there.
Business is fixing to pick up, so if we go off the air, we apologize, and thanks for listening.
Yeah.
All right, Rick, before we get away from this, we got about 20 minutes left here. I'm going to go one deep sleeper, completely based on gut. And for all I know, he's being arrested right now. But if he's not, and he
Kenny
can,
Britt.
Yes, if
there
he can avoid it between now and then, in short bursts, this guy, Rick, has looked like the best wide receiver in the league for two or three games at a time before he gets drunk and goes spinning donuts in army bases or whatever it is he likes to do. I really like Sam Bradford. I like the running game there in St. Louis. I like the program they're putting together. Haven't had a real legitimate wide receiver. A guy with the dynamic skills of Tavon Austin on the other side. Nobody really else to compete with. Kenny Britt could emerge this year if he's not in prison as somebody who could be. Here's a guy probably not even going to get drafted in a lot of your leagues, or a guy who's going to be a late-round flyer. A guy who could, at least in certain games, if you're playing him at the right time, could pan out and give you some fantasy benefit.
Yeah, there's no question about that. And if he can stay out of jail.
That's a big if. He loves to go to prison.
If he can stay healthy, which
he
likes to get hurt,
he likes that. Those are his two favorite things, getting hurt and going to jail.
And his favorite thing is getting hurt in jail.
Well, but, I'm sure of it, yeah. That's easy to do, though.
Yeah, that's true.
They don't have a good training staff there at the federal pen.
He has a great talent. There's no question about that. And I don't know. Sometimes we see a change of scenery for guys like this could be what they need. And, you know, sometimes when guys get a little older and say, hey, this is my last shot, sometimes it pans out. Sometimes it's just total head cases,
right,
and he'll get arrested before training camp.
That's true.
But
he may be in the back of a police car right now.
Right.
We don't know. But you look at, he was never to this level, but he had some off-field issues, had some attitude problems. Look at the change in Vincent Jackson, and you're feeling in Vincent Jackson since he went to Tampa Bay. You wonder if Kenny Britt going somewhere else, getting out of Tennessee, would make the same difference.
Right. No, I agree 100%. I mean, Vincent Jackson is all of a sudden a leader on that team, where before he would be standing off on the sideline
right
somewhere, not talking. Brandon Marshall.
True.
In some of his earlier days in Denver, not quite as bad, but, I mean, you know, some of these guys grow up. And, you know, I hope that's the case. Because I'll tell you what, you're going to get him cheap.
Right, very cheap. And a great, great talent. You know, and going back to Vincent Jackson, this was a guy, he was a guy we had this conversation about for a couple of years in San Diego. This guy could be a sleeper. This guy has star potential if he could get his head right, if he could knock it off, if all these things happen. And bam, he goes to Tampa Bay, and he seems like the seasoned, old, veteran, super teammate once he gets out there. I don't know if Kenny Britt's that guy. Kenny Britt's had much bigger issues than Vincent Jackson ever did. But just a guy, if I've got one draft pick, one slot left on my roster, and I've got all my positions filled,
right,
this is a guy I'm going to be eyeing up, and I wouldn't mind stashing him away.
You know, Vincent Jackson was one of those surprises. He was out in San Diego. Like you said, we had these conversations. Then he goes to Tampa, and we're sitting here thinking, you know, I don't, probably not on air, but, you know, him and Shiana, ought to be fun.
I think we probably did talk about that on the air.
And bought into it, and Shiana just thought he was great. He was the hardest worker on the team, blah, blah, blah. He was a team leader. And
it's a 180-degree turn.
You know, and then Josh Stream is gone.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So... That was weird.
Getting cut. What a shame that kid is. Did you hear he's working out with John Gruden? Did you hear about that?
No, I didn't see that.
Yes, trying to resurrect his career there. I guess the one little show for John Gruden, he's now the renowned quarterback expert. And, boy, what a waste of talent there. That's a shame. You just wonder what happened. If it's all in his head, if it was Shiano, exactly what happened. This is a guy you were talking about as potential fantasy star two seasons ago. And, boy, just now out of the league. It's a real shame.
It is. It really is. And Gruden, you think about what do you have? Rich Gannon, our one-year wonder in the Hall of Fame in Oakland, and his Tampa.
Who'd he win the Super Bowl with? One of the Johnsons.
Oh, Brad. Was it Brad?
Yeah, I think it was Brad Johnson.
Yeah.
So he had old veteran quarterback. I don't know when he became the quarterback guru. I mean, it sounds good on that show. He knows a hell of a lot more than I do.
Well, yeah.
That's not saying much.
Well, no, but I mean, hell, that pop bottle knows more than you do.
That's true. And a lot more used to me as well.
Yeah, that's true. It's worth more. It has Pepsi in it. But anyway, okay, so it's my turn?
Yeah, let's give us a deep sleeper, Rick, and then we'll move off of this topic.
Okay, I'll give you a real good deep sleeper. In fact, I'm going in the rankings, and I'm going to, I think I'll go to running back.
All right.
I think that's
what everybody's looking for, that deep sleeper running back.
Yes. You know, and I'll tell you what, I'm just not into No-Show Marino going to Miami, okay? But I'll tell you what, and to me, I think, to me, he's not a huge sleeper, but running backs on this team tend to get ignored. And Pierre Thomas, 75.
I'm thinking Pierre Thomas.
I mean, 70-some catches last year. I mean, this guy is a PPR monster. I mean, Darren Sproles is gone. And it's basically him and Ingram. And they're not picking up the fifth-year option on Ingram. So, I mean, I'm thinking Pierre Thomas is the guy. And I'll tell you what, I think you're going to get good value with Pierre Thomas.
Yeah, you're going to get him way down in the draft. The number you mentioned, if you're in a PPR league, 70 grabs, was it 70 exactly, I believe?
I don't know. It was right around
there. In the 70s, he was right there. That's a flex play every week, all week. And there are games he's going to disappear like anybody else, except for Drew Brees and that New Orleans offense. But there's games he's going to be the focus. The matchup's going to be right. He's going to be uncoverable. He's going to run the ball. You worry he's not going to get the goal line work. That's going to be Ingram. That's the price you're going to pay, which is why you're not going to ever discuss him, I don't think, in the top 24 of fantasy running backs. But this is a guy you can get at fourth running back pay and be an every-week flex play for you, be a high third, maybe working his way into a low second. This is a guy I'm very high on.
Yeah, let's face it, it's the New Orleans offense. They're going to be
back to your theory there.
You know, there it is. And on the topic of me writing, of course, I just received an email.
Oh, okay.
And from Dave Cherney, Road Warrior, that everyone knows too. No, I mean, it's an email in our asylum box, and he has just said that the fake pigskin draft guide is set for a July 1st release.
Cool, okay.
And so it's, and by everything he says, it's obviously a must read. And of course, since I'm in it, I concur.
Well, certainly. So all but that one page you're on.
Well,
why didn't he ask me to be in it? I mean, I wouldn't have written anything. Is there an audio section of it?
Well,
I like to talk.
I think you probably just,
did you mention me anyhow?
Why would I mention you?
Well, we're the 1,100-pound couple.
I mean, yeah, but see, you know, you're the, I don't know, you just ignore things.
What do I ignore?
The emails that ask for our input.
Well, that's what you do.
I know, and I input it.
That's your thing.
I input it.
You're the people person.
Right.
You're the marketing guy.
And I input it.
Inputted what?
Inputted some. Okay, let me just break it down.
Right,
I inputted some well-thought-out professional.
Well, you're using that a little loosely.
No. Well-thought-out, professional, concise, accurate information.
Wow, that's a lot of adjectives right there.
Yeah, you better. And
so you didn't mention me at all, you know, with my co-host.
Yeah, I think it was probably,
thankfully,
he's not here.
Well, as long as my name's in there, I don't care what you said about me.
But, no, I mean, certainly when it comes out, you better check it out on Fake Pigskin.
All right, Rick. Well, we got about 15 minutes left in the show, and anybody who's listening.
We're just busy. I got emails and phones ringing
phone
and all
buzzing
kinds of
off
stuff
the wall.
Going on.
You're talking to Dave over email.
I'm not talking to him. It just came in.
You're a busy, busy man.
Oh,
that's
we
impressive.
Are busy.
I just sit over here and spit into the microphone.
Right.
But I'm doing this, Rick. I don't want to make this a regular thing, but I want you to listen to the whole thing, not like you do at the end of most episodes where you take your headphones off.
Okay.
But sadly, now, after all the fights we've had over music over the last couple of years, every time I hear a song, now obviously if it's a hip-hop song or something that I like, I know what your opinion's going to be of it.
Yes,
and
you
obviously
do.
I know all too well as Liz Loza knows, what your opinion is on Fallout Boys. But anyway,
yeah.
Anytime I ever hear a new song that I really like that isn't in those genres, the first thing that pops into my mind is what's the geezer going to think about it? So I'm watching, of all things, the CMT Music Awards ring. My daughter was. Okay?
Yeah, I'm just, right. Yeah, just like she wanted to see Taylor Swift. Yeah. Right.
I knew that was
you
coming.
You poor daughter around through the mud for your little, you know, your little perverted hobbies. Oh, she wanted to see it. Yeah, right.
My perverted hobbies.
Yeah, all right, go ahead.
So anyhow, there's this song, and it's got an old rock vibe to it. It's called That's Damn Rock and Roll. It's done a country artist named Eric Church. You probably never heard
I've
of
heard
him.
I've heard of Eric Church.
But he collaborated with a young lady
I
named...
I thought you were going to say he collapsed. Okay.
No, he didn't collapse.
All right.
With Lizzie Hale. She's in a little band called Hailstorm I'd never heard of. Now, one thing I like is a woman with a big, strong voice.
Okay.
And this chick's got it all. And she's a mite fetching, too, which didn't hurt
like
her.
Like Bonnie Raitt.
Yeah, similar.
Okay.
She's more screaming. You'll hear it. It's a hard rock. Just hear the song. It talks about Elvis.
All right, I'm an open mind.
Right,
you know that.
You're an open mind. So I'm just going to play
probably not
song.
Alice Cooper, but
no,
I'll...
This is directly from the CMT Music Awards, so give credit to them before we get a cease and desist letter. Here we go.
Oh, they must like them.
I hope this audio quality is good enough. There we go.
Oh, you were there recording it, I'm sure.
No.
It ain't okay. It ain't backstage sex. It ain't lines of cocaine on a private jet.
Starts out a little slow, don't give up
on it. It ain't having a posse full of hangers on.
Sounds like Ray Stevens in the street.
It ain't tattoos. It ain't playing too loud.
Here we go. But I just want it known, Rick, I am obsessed with this song. And it's this Lizzie Hale playing the lead guitar. She gets saw on that thing.
It ain't a middle finger on a t-shirt the establishment's trying to sell. It's a guy with the balls told the establishment to go to hell.
Johnny Cash.
It ain't about the money you make.
That's what he's getting at. So if you listen to the song.
It's about doing it for nothing because it lives in your soul. Now that's damn rock and roll. Now that's damn rock and roll.
Now this is my favorite part of the song coming up.
It's a rock through a window, it's a ride in the street, it's a rebel revolution, it's a fight for peace, it's a burn, baby, burn, it's a break in the wall, it's the first one to stand, and the last one to fall, it's a hip shaking devil on a stage of Tupelo, it's a doing what you want, it's
I had to look up what Tupelo was.
You had to look up what
Tupelo was.
Tupelo, that's where Elvis was born.
I know that now.
Oh. All you do is call me, I'd have told you.
I don't want to talk to you.
Yeah. Because I'll give you all the wisdom you need.
Listen to this broad thing. Right, this is a good-looking chick, too. Like a hot in a rocker way.
You have to look up Hendrix and Joplin.
No,
too.
I knew what they meant. See, when a woman hits that note, it makes the hair on the back of my neck stand up.
Melissa Etheridge, that's who she reminds you of.
She rocks like her. She'll hit that a couple more times. It's just awesome.
Yeah, they did say that most rock and roll has rolled into country now.
Yeah, it is. Country today is what rock was, I think, 25 years ago.
Oh, it wasn't what it was. Well, maybe 25 years
not
ago.
Bad.
Not 40 years ago. You see, Mick Jagger has a new girlfriend.
Good for him.
He's 70, she's 27.
Yeah, buddy.
I'm sure it was just his rugged good looks he's after.
That's right. She's about to hit that again. It gets me all excited.
Yeah, I can live with that song. That's a good song.
Here she's about to hit it. I wish I could do that. That actually gets me
she reminds you a lot of Bonnie Raitt and Melissa Etheridge all rolled into one there.
She's a good egg, too.
Oh,
silly
yeah.
Goose, a fetching young lady. So a Lizzie Hale. So
yeah.
That gets the Rick Briggs stamp of approval.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So if I close the show with that at some point, I won't play it again tonight. You
no,
won't curse me
not.
Out and take your
So we're
going
to have to
off.
Close the show here because we're winding down.
No, we got 10 minutes left, Rick.
Do we?
Yeah.
No, I thought you were actually closing and just getting my opinion.
Well, that's what I thought. We could get out of here now before the power goes out. It might not be a half bad idea.
Getting a little rough out there.
So, let's just talk briefly about next week, the 200th episode.
Definitely.
I'm so excited about that. You talked about it off the top. What we're going to do, just bring some, these four guys we're bringing on have been four guys that have been good friends to us when we were terrible. I mean, not that we're that good now, but when we were just starting out. Come on, help the show out. Great friends of the show. Scott does so much for us. Scott Fish from building the new look AsylumFantasySports.com. From Sunday mornings on the Inside Slant, does a fantastic job there. Just way too good for us. Scott's been, Dave has been there from day one. He coordinated setting up with all the other shows when we had the Tuesday Night Blitz when that was rolling on. You had a lot of talk with Dave. Dave's right there. A lot of good back and forth. Got you hooked up with the fake pigskin. Just a great friend of the show. Jay Smooth, probably one of the best guests, first guests we ever had, probably one of the best guests we've ever had. I could sit and listen to that guy talk all day. And what else can you
and
say
he
about
will.
And he will. I have no doubt about that. And what else can you say about Dennis Farrell? This guy, I think we've come a long way, but this guy was where we wanted to be when we were in the very, very humble beginnings of this. Took us on, had us on his show, came on our show, a good buddy of ours, done a lot for us. When we were with the Armed Forces Radio Network, hooked us up with that.
Came on our show back whenever.
Yeah.
And then when the show was over, sat with us for what, another 2 hours?
At least.
And we were just talking about stuff.
Just talking sports, giving us advice, anything you can do. Still does that. We had him on just a few weeks ago, and we sat and talked. Well, he did our show, we did his show, and then probably another hour after that, just talking, giving us advice. Given us contacts. We've had Patrick Johnson of the Ravens on a few times, and we got to get him on again. Yeah, that contact came
definitely.
Right from Dennis when we had comedian Matt Besser on. That contact came right from Dennis. Dennis has done so much for us. So we want to get these guys on for two reasons. Number one, to thank these guys for everything they did and for them to give them a chance to celebrate the brilliance that is the asylum. So we want those guys to have that forum as well.
And I'm just curious which one's going to tell us, I hope you don't record 201.
I'm saying three out of the four.
Probably. But no, we definitely. I can't wait. It's going to be fun. It's going to be an hour and a half of just basically
and just telling stories,
talking a little fantasy football. Maybe somebody's top three running back, something like that. Just anything that comes to mind. That's what we're going to talk about, and it's going to be a good time. And then after 200, it gets down to fantasy football season for sure.
Yeah.
Because we're going to be getting into July, and it's time.
Yeah, I think it's time to start maybe looking at some divisional rankings, some things like that. We'll come up with a way to put it all together, to keep it fun, to keep it interesting. We won't do a lot of the schlocky stuff right now. But definitely something we are going to, look forward to next week. We appreciate the listeners. We've come a long way in, what's this, Rick, our fourth season we're going into now.
Yeah, and the Inside Slant will be coming, starting when the season starts.
Can't wait for that.
I
love that show.
That was a tremendous success, and we hope it's just as exciting and jam-packed as it was last year. We got a lot of emails, a lot of calls, and it's just a lot of interaction with different people. And that's where we get a lot of points for Asylumite of the Year
that'll be important. And you want some points? Shoot us a question. Anything you ever wondered?
You
breakdowns on the air. We're going to talk a lot about Rick. I've been thinking about a lot of the fun stuff over the years and the the show we did and the time we had at the Fantasy Fest, was that what it was called, out in
Fan Fest
out in Atlantic City. That was an interesting trip, to say the least, so we were going to spend some time talking about that.
Yeah,
some
definitely.
Different times on the air, just the humble beginnings we did, some of the seven take shows we did, some of the edits, some of the lost shows we've had. You know, we've actually done probably over 210 episodes, Rick, because for a while there we would just lose episodes.
Right.
They just go away. But I'm not going to give it all away now. Something to look forward to next week. And if there's anything you were ever curious about, hit us up at Asylum Football on Twitter, and we'll tell you the story, whatever it is.
Definitely.
We're gonna pull that curtain back.
Yep, can't wait. And, it's one short week away now.
Yeah, can't.
There's no doubt
I'm
about that.
I'm excited for it.
I'm looking forward to the show. But I'm looking forward to July when the training camps really start. Of course, they won't start towards mid or end July, but still, it's kind of like when July gets here after the 4th, it's like
now it's
things are starting to happen. And, you know, I don't like to – I got some preseason rankings out there, but I tell you what, come about the first of August, you know, in mid-July, or say end of July to first part of August – that's when I really, the juices are going. My rankings are right there. That's where I'm targeting guys. You know, barring injury, there's probably not many changes going
right.
to happen. And, you know, you can really get into talking drafts and that kind of thing and building a solid championship team.
Yeah, I think we need to get some mocks going on, too. It's
definitely.
That time of year. That same, we did one in January. We've done them throughout the spring.
I'm going to try to get a couple leagues together, maybe another listener league.
Yeah.
And I kind of like to get a different league. I'm not going to tip what we're doing here. If we can do it, we'll do it, and we'll let everybody know what's going on. But, we've got some things working in the background here. So hopefully, it's going
to
be fun.
Yeah, looking forward to this year. And we know, Rick, as of 7 p.m. tomorrow, fantasy season is here as we have the first off-season meeting for our league of note. The Caveman Fantasy League is going to get together to vote some changes and to set that draft order. So we'll probably talk a little bit about that next week, too, as we will know where we are drafting in the Caveman League as of 7 o'clock tomorrow evening.
The League of Consequence.
No question about it. So, all right, Rick, we're about out of time, and I think we're going to lose power any minute. So thank you to everyone for listening to the Asylum Fantasy Sports Show. Check us out at Asylum Football on Twitter. Check out our other show, the Fantasy Sports Network, 1:30, 2 o'clock, somewhere in that range. Each Sunday, fantasysportsnetwork.com. Just need an email and a password. You can watch a great show, great network, not just for our show, but a lot of great studio shows, a lot of great podcasts, a lot of great fantasy content on there. Check it out. And I think I missed at the top somebody else we need to thank as we talk about our success over these last 200 episodes, the RF Sports Radio Network, the Real Fan Sports Network, plays this show anytime you log on there. About 1 out of 4, you're going to hear the Asylum, so we appreciate them. Thank you to everyone. We'll be back for the Big 200 next week, 7 o'clock, on Blog Talk Radio and AsylumFantasySports.com. Till then, we'll see you.
Take care.
Now, goddamn it, I'm scared to send my children to church. And how can we seek salvation when our nation's race relations got me feeling guilty of being white? In human nature, our creator and our savior, I'm no saint, but I believe in what is right. Come on now, amen. I said amen.
say you got a brother, sister, friend, grandmother, niece, or nephew just dying to be with you. You know there's someone out there who unconditionally, religiously loves you. So just hold on, 'cause you know it's true. And if you can take the pain, then you can withstand anything. And one day stand hand in hand with the truth.